So as we've gone through Psalm 23, we've looked at it from the perspective of, at least somewhat, from the things that can really trip us up as people, anxiety, yes, depression last week, and this week our problem that we will assess, at least in part, is loneliness. And I just love, Susan and I had the conversation this week about what she just shared about what we tell our children, that they're loved and that they were created by God and that God wants to be their forever friend. And that really jives well with what we're going to look at today. And I'll go ahead and tell you, and then we'll unpack it as we go, but we're going to understand that the shepherd, as presented by David in Psalm 23, is with us and is for us and is unto us. As individuals, yes, but also as a church family. I don't know if you caught it, but in singing "The Lord is My Salvation," which is such a beautiful new Getty hymn, as we moved into the last bit of it, it shifted from "The Lord is my salvation" to "The Lord is what? Our salvation." Because both are true. Both are true. Loneliness is a big deal. After giving birth to her first child, Freddie, in 2016, Tracy Crouch, and you might not know who that is, I didn't until I read this story. She's a British lawmaker, and she said that despite having a network of friends and family and a wonderful husband, that she began feeling cut off from the world with her baby. It wasn't a new sensation. Crouch said she suffered 6 years earlier from depression when she actually began serving in Parliament, when she first began. She said, "It felt like I was in a very dark place, a very lonely place," she recalls. What's interesting here is that Crouch was appointed in April of 2018 as Britain's first ever Minister of Loneliness. Did you know they had that position in the cabinet? According to a report from that year that led to Theresa May appointing the first Minister of Loneliness, is that 9 million people in Britain, around 14% of the population, often or always feel lonely. In 2003, UCLA researchers studied the physical effects of loneliness on the brain and discovered that feeling excluded proved the same sort of reaction as physical pain. A study conducted by Cigna on loneliness concluded that living alone and poor social connections are as bad for your health as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. Lonely people are more likely to suffer from dementia, from heart disease, and from depression. It's a big deal. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his seminal work, Life Together, said a lot of things. I understand about 8% of what's in that book. But I understood this. Let him who is not in community beware of being alone. And let him who cannot be alone beware of community. Now, I think we all know how energizing it can be from one time or another to be alone. I know my family feels that way about me. At times, not always. But we're made to be in community with one another. If you experience loneliness that is obviously affecting your health, I'm going to say what I've said the last 2 weeks. Call your doctor. Take your medicine. See a therapist. But as we look into Psalm 23 together, again, I want you to hear me. One thing we understand about the sheep is that they will not likely survive apart from one another or apart from the shepherd. So first, the shepherd, the good shepherd, God, for King David, the Father, Jesus, for you and me, as the Gospel of John illuminates for us over and over again, is with us. The shepherd is with us. It is the center of this psalm. It is the thesis. It is the main point of this psalm, that the shepherd is with us. Now, 2 weeks ago, we talked about trusting the shepherd, and David in this psalm testifies to trusting the shepherd. The sheep can trust the good shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside the still waters. And we've gone to great lengths to talk about what pictures, what ideas this language evokes, certainly in people that lived in King David's time, and can even for us, those of us particularly who are familiar with what the life of a shepherd is even like today. The Good Shepherd literally restores our souls. This is important because verse 4 testifies to, and we understand it as well, that life gets hard. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We go through the valleys, but we are never alone. We talked about the trip that the sheep take with the good shepherds to the higher ground in the springtime so that all summer they can eat from the fields that are lusher, that are greener. We talked about how difficult that journey can be, but how along the way God provides grace for the journey daily. We looked at Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 through 24, which says, because of the Lord's faithful love, we don't die. We do not perish, for his mercies never end. They are new every morning. Grace along the way, new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say the Lord is my portion, therefore I will put my hope in him. Now fill in the blank there for what comes to your mind relative to your story. I mean, do you know God is with you? Do you feel that Jesus is with you? I didn't think about it a ton at the time because we were busy trying to figure out what was going on with Leslie Ann. But looking back, yeah, it did not overwhelm us completely that we didn't know how sick she was a few weeks ago or exactly what she was sick with. And I do recognize, looking back, how the shepherd was with us along the way. I pray this morning that some friends of ours whose 9-year-old son was just diagnosed with leukemia this week, that they will experience that the shepherd is with them. Or my new friend Lee, who's a pastor in town that I shared time with this week, who told me his story. In the last year and a half, they've lost a child, stillborn, 38 weeks. His father died 2 weeks after they had a baby, which is doing fine, just 2 months ago. I mean, the valley, the up and down, the meandering, how do we deal with it without a firm awareness that the shepherd is with us? Found out this morning that Officer Jeff, who you see here every week if you come to our life group hour, that his wife is stable but just had a stroke. We lift him up. Pray for one another. It matters. Students, I'm praying for students wherever you are. I'm praying for you as you begin to pray for one another and for your church and for God's world over the next month in association with Awaken Nashville and many other churches that are doing that with you. It's so important to pray for one another. On Wednesday nights, I could feel the power of God coming out of the room that Miss Joy Nabby and Randy Brothers were leading a prayer meeting for our church Wednesday night, where several people showed up to pray with them. And I would encourage you to show up to pray with them because it matters. We have to pray for one another. Throughout this psalm and our study of it, as we've done the last 3 weeks and as I hope we will continue to do as Psalm 23, if you've memorized it or some of it, becomes part of your relationship with God, that your time spent with the Lord, you're reminded of it, that it comes to mind, that you would keep in mind, that you would bear in mind the consistent care that the shepherd affords the sheep over and over again. The shepherd who is always with them. Listen to what Jesus says in John 10. It's not on the screen. Listen. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. The shepherd is with us. Not only with us, but for us. So one of the books I've read, and I've mentioned it a couple of times in association with this study, is Philip Keller, a shepherd who actually, he was a shepherd and a theologian and a pastor. A shepherd looks at Psalm 23. And one of the things that Keller explains in this book is, and he was a very conscientious shepherd. He took great care of his sheep. And that's how he could identify with Psalm 23 so well, is he saw what was said in the psalm and matched it up with his experience with his sheep and how he knew, how he learned he had to care for them, the steps it took, the things it took to care for them well. There were other shepherds who didn't do this. And their sheep were, they struggled. They really struggled because the consistent care from the shepherd was not there. So one could say that those shepherds were not for their sheep as they should have been. You may have heard this story. It's a couple years old. But in Istanbul, Turkey, hundreds of sheep followed their leader, not the shepherd. See, because if the shepherd doesn't watch them, one of the sheep will take over. And that's no bueno, okay? And so whichever sheep took over just took off, and all the sheep followed. I'm not kidding y'all. They literally walked off a cliff. And they continued to walk off of a cliff, and 400 of them actually perished, and then 1,100 more didn't perish because the dead sheep provided cushion for the 1,100 that fell on top of them. True story. I'm not making this up. Unbelievable. The shepherds of this flock were off having breakfast, and the sheep wandered off, and that happened. It's difficult at times. You can't just go off and have breakfast. You've got to watch the sheep, because they can't take care of themselves. I've told you this. It's difficult sometimes in our homes. Let's just be real for a minute. Last night, for instance, Leslie Ann, I mean, thank goodness she got to get out of the house. She has not much lately, and she went to see a movie with her sisters. And this is my wife, whom I love, that we can barely find anything to watch together because she doesn't watch anything that anybody gets harmed in, okay? So if we're not watching, like, Paw Patrol, we're probably not watching TV together. That's not entirely true. That was more of trying to be funny. But you understand what I'm... She doesn't watch a whole lot of the same things that I like to watch. Anyway, she goes to this movie and with her sisters, which is great. She got out of the house. It was a horror movie. I mean, what in the world? And so she comes home... And she's petrified. And so a lot of things happened. So she got home and I'd gotten everybody to sleep, and I was quite sleepy. So I went on and went to bed. And so I was already asleep when she got home, and somehow I was on her pillow, and my pillow, and they're not the same pillows, was over on the other side of the bed, so that was a problem. And I went to sleep before her, and apparently I snore a little bit, and so that was a problem. So we're just off right now. And then at about 12:50, the smoke alarm goes off. Why does that always happen in the middle of the night? Why doesn't that happen at like 1:30 in the afternoon? Never does. And so I realized that I don't know which one went off, and I don't have, 14 whatever battery, the batteries with the little ends on. I don't have those batteries to put, to change every one of them. So I have to cut the breaker, just for the night and make my family, vulnerable to fire. And because we had to sleep. And for some reason, that breaker that controls the smoke alarms also controls the internet in the house. And I realize it's not working, and we can't live without the internet. That's like breath. And so I can't fall back asleep because I'm imagining what the morning's going to be like without air. Excuse me, I mean internet. It's hard sometimes for God to take care of his sheep because we struggle. We're all right. We made it. We're here. It's all good. Regardless of how difficult, the shepherd is with us and for us. The text literally says the shepherd prepares a table for us. Actually, in front of our enemies. Provides food for us. Provides a seat at the table for us. The shepherd anoints our head with oil. This is a rich picture here where flies are so bad in the summer in the higher ground. And when the shepherd is keen on this and sees that the sheep are being inundated with mosquitoes and other kinds of flies, it's literally called fly time. That oil would be put on the sheep's head and the bugs won't bother them. But they have to be aware and they have to get out ahead of it. He literally anoints our head with oil. And as Oksana alluded to in the prayer and altar time, surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. Amen. You know, I have to tell you a really unfortunate story. And well, I'm okay. But when I was 7, I had 2 dogs, Goodness and Mercy. And this is part of my, you know, history with dogs, okay? And so those of you who may have heard me say a few weeks ago, we have a new dog in our house. Her name's Annie. She's precious, some would say. I would use other words, but she's growing on me. But this was tough. When I was 7, I was learning how to play golf, and I was swinging my 9-iron in the backyard. And y'all, Goodness followed me. And I hit Goodness in the head with my 9-iron. And I had to go with my dad to the vet, and we had to put Goodness down. I know, it's terrible. And I should have realized that Goodness could possibly be right there, even as a 7-year-old. You know, I have to ask you this morning if you believe the text right there. Do you believe that goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life? If you do, you do understand. And I want you to understand it intellectually, but also want you to understand it in your bones, spiritually, emotionally, all the above, that the shepherd is for you, that goodness and mercy pursues you all the days of your life, that God loves you, and because God is for you, that is the only explanation for what King David is proclaiming here, that God loves you. And I'm asking you to trust that this is true. I'm not telling you not to take your medicine. I'm not telling you not to take loneliness seriously. I'm not telling you not to see your doctor about loneliness or depression or anxiety, but I'm telling you that the first defense for the Christian, the first defense, not the only defense, is to believe that the shepherd is with you and for you. You got to believe it. His life gets hard. Last, the shepherd is unto you. Now, this is a little awkward grammatically, and I had to work into this one. But I heard, so one of the benefits of being in this group of churches for me is I get to meet every week with the other campus pastors. And we had a meeting a couple months ago with one of the people whose work has formed me, Scott McKnight, who teaches at Northern Seminary in Chicago. And we got to spend the day with Scott, and he just poured into us, and it was awesome. And one of the things I remembered him saying, because he alluded to it that day, was the outline of this sermon. That God's love for us shows us that God is with us, for us, and unto us. And this move from for to unto is really important. It makes a huge difference, because the shepherd can be for the sheep and care for them well. and even risk their lives for the sheep, can go above and beyond to make sure the sheep are well taken care of and still be for them, but they can be doing it, the shepherd can be doing it for what the sheep can render. Meat, wool. I mean, even a well-grazed pasture with a lot of sheep, it's good for the earth. So you can tell a pasture, you see this all over Scotland where the sheep are really well taken care of, and it's just green. It's like crazy. And the sheep help that in the way that they graze. So there are benefits to being for the sheep. But that is not the good shepherd. The good shepherd is not just for you. The good shepherd is unto you. Unto you. Jesus is invested in us being all that we were created to be. You are made to build for God's kingdom. You are made in the image of God. You are an image bearer of God, God's self. You have a purpose here that is beyond anything you could ask for or even imagine. Purpose for your life. Mike Glenn, the campus pastor, our leader, our shepherd in a lot of ways, emailed us yesterday and said, guys, Matthew tells us that Jesus sent out his disciples. Matthew 10:1, summoning his 12 disciples, he gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to heal every disease and sickness. And then Mike said one more line. He said, tomorrow you'll step into the pulpit with that very authority. Go for it. You have that authority too. He's your good shepherd. Purpose. To be everything that God made you to be. John 20:21. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. As the Father has sent me, Jesus said, I am sending you. You. He is not just for you. He is begging you to allow him to help us grow into everything God has created us to be, to not be anxious or lonely or to suffer from depression, but to allow the very peace of Christ, which transcends all understanding, to come inside of us, to dwell in our hearts, to make us whole. With us, for us, unto us, in the same authority that God gave Jesus, Jesus has given you. Now, the psalmist is teaching us here that it is okay to not be okay. There are moments in our lives when we are going to suffer, be anxious, we're going to be lonely, we are going to battle with depression. We are not to be overcome. It is okay, though, to not be okay. Hear me. It's not okay, though, to be the only one who's okay. The Good Shepherd is with us, for us, and unto us. And we are called to be that for one another. That's the point. And if we don't get that, I'm afraid that we will fail to remember the Good Shepherd is with us, for us, and unto us. The Good Shepherd has not just invited us over for dinner. Station Hill's Pastor Jay Strother said this week, he's asked us to become part of the family. Big difference. You belong. You're asked to stay. And we have responsibility for one another. I read a story this week about a teacher who came upon one of their students in the commons area where the cafeteria and a lot of things are. And she told this story in tears because she saw a friend of hers sitting in the commons area, reading an email. And the teacher said, I was busy getting some money out of my purse to get a soda, and I just said to my friend, as we do, how you doing? That's what we say, right? How you doing? The teacher continued. She said this, I found out later that the response that she got from her friend was that she was reading a letter from her mother. Her mother has cancer, and she thinks she's going to have to go home, leave her job for a while, and help take care of her mother. The teacher was telling this story in tears because she didn't hear that response. She went on to get a soda, and she walked back over to her friend and said this, so what are you doing this weekend? Didn't hear a thing. What Jesus is for us, we are called to be for one another. There just can't be loneliness in the family of God. There's no room for it. Can't be loneliness in our church. There's no room for it. We got to get rid of it. We got to be with one another. You need to be in a group. We need to be for one another. You need to not only be in a group, but you need to care for one another. Galatians 6:2, you need to carry each other's burdens right there. And we need to be unto one another, literally putting one another before ourselves. You have everything you need in Jesus. And when we hide this truth in our heart and it sinks in and it permeates our bones, we can joyfully put others before ourselves. We can joyfully do things that imitate the shepherd caring for the sheep. We can serve one another today with an eternal perspective. I love this. The psalm ends with, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that evokes some thoughts about eternity, and it should, because the Bible, all throughout the Bible, we are promised our forever home with God, and that is true, but that is not what the text means right here. The better translation here is, I will return each day to my Father's house. So you can go, according to David's words in this psalm, you can go out and pour yourself out. Gospel conversations, caring for one another in your groups, praying for one another. You can carry this out with the understanding that every day you will not be left alone, that you are invited, that you are implored, that you are asked to come back to your Lord's house every single day. I pray that our church gets this, because it will free us up to love one another well and to be exactly who God has called us to be, with one another, for one another, and unto one another.